Friends, we come to you today with another message on the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We have dealt with the second coming of Christ, the millennium, and various conditions of the millennial period, such as the new temple, laws, priests, offerings, feasts of Jehovah, and spiritual conditions of the kingdom of Christ when He sets up a reign on the earth forever and ever. Now then, our next thought is, what will be the living conditions during the millennium? In Revelation 20, we have the fact that the devil will be bound. It said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that old dragon called the devil and Satan, bound him, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be finished. After that, he should be loosed a little season. Then we read of the saints reigning with Christ on earth. He said, I saw the dead, small and great. In other words, those who had gotten a victory over the beast and over his image, and who had not worshipped the beast and his image, said they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Then the broad statement is made, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And when 1,000 years shall be expired, Satan shall be liberated, loosed from his prison, and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. He gathers them together, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They go up to compass the camp of the saints in the beloved city, and fire comes down from God out of heaven and devours them. There you have the fact that the devil will be bound for 1,000 years. That's proof that 1,000 years has not been completed or has not been started, and that Christ has not yet ruled on the earth, and the saints have not ruled with him, nor are they now ruling with him. All this goes to prove that these events are yet future, and will take place at the second coming of Christ and the 1,000 years after that. So the devil will be bound. There will be no more tempter. This will be one of the most wonderful changes that could ever be had on earth. The devil and his angels and all the demon powers that now work in the sons of disobedience and that tempt men continually and make warfare on men to overthrow them, they will be completely cast off of the earth. The earth will be rid of them for 1,000 years. And in those days, it would seem that almost anyone could live a righteous life and do that which is right in the sight of God. In fact, they can. Did you know, as it is today, those demon forces are fighting every Christian as well as all other men, to seek control of them and to seek their cooperation in all things. In the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, we read, Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, and having done all, to stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In the 2nd chapter of Ephesians, we read, Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the course of this age, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Naturally, it will be a whole lot easier for men to live right in the millennium than now. So that will bring about quite a universal change. All demon temptations, all satanic powers, all sicknesses and diseases, all results of sin as propagated by the devil and agitated by the devil, and all rebellion of any kind agitated by these demon and satanic forces will be gotten rid of, and men will have 1,000 years of absolute freedom from Satan, from his fallen angels, and from the demons that seek now to enter into and control both men and beasts. Yes, that's sure going to bring about a wonderful condition in the earth, a changed condition. Another thing that will bring the changed condition, or rather will cause it to be realized more and more, and that Satan is bound, is that there will be universal peace. Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4 says, "It shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." And the prophet said this would be in the last days, in the last days. Then he continued, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their weapons into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." That's plain that there will be universal peace. Micah 4, verses 3 and 4 speaks of the same thing. How that there will be peace on earth and they will not learn war during that particular period, at least until the end. And according to Revelation 20, then the devil will be liberated and go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, and he will lead them in rebellion and in actual war against God. And we read there how they will go up and compass the camp of the saints, the beloved city, and fire will come down from heaven and devour the rebels, and the devil that deceived them will be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So this idea of beating the swords into plowshares and weapons into pruning hooks is an expression of universal peace. This means that there will be no taxation to keep up large armies and navies, and class prejudices and all national ills will be forgotten because of the great turning to God by all nations after hearing the gospel. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone will accept Christ and God from the heart and will conform and consecrate themselves eternally to the same end to which God and Christ are consecrated. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that multitudes of people will know God in those days and will turn to God and from the heart will serve God. Spiritual revivals will break out in every land and all peoples will become one in serving the great King. And Malachi 1:11 puts it this way, "The name of the Lord should be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same." The universal conversion will be brought about all right in a general sense. That doesn't mean that everyone, but in general, multitudes will turn to God and the righteous people will have absolute control of the earth. The resurrected saints of all ages with Christ and with David and the apostles will be reigning over the earth and will be the rulers in every city, in every village, in every part of the country, and every country. Universal conversion will not be brought about by wars and treaties and armaments and depressions, various forms of religion or government or anything that goes to make common talk today. Oh no, the theories we have today advanced that such universal conversion will be brought about by the prosperity of man and by everybody becoming good and Christ-like in the churches. That's all nonsense. That is not the way it's going to be brought about. All peoples will be fully alerted to their own sinfulness, and they will learn the gospel of salvation and deliverance and preservation and soundness as the gospel teaches from the beginning to the end. All peoples will be fully satisfied with peace and prosperity for a time, and all people will be turned to God outwardly. Outwardly, not altogether in the heart, but outwardly. And there will be multitudes turned to God in the heart too. Multitudes of people will be converted, really saved, born again, and will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in those days. But the majority of people turning to God outwardly will bring about a great change on the earth, and universal peace and blessing will be upon all men. Another wonderful change in the millennium will be that of universal prosperity. Isaiah 65, 21 to 24 tells us how that there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. A child shall die 100 years, but a sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. As the days of a tree are the days of my people, mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor or bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. There we have the fact that building, agriculture, other forms of human prosperity will continue. Zechariah 8, 11 and 12 speaks of every man sitting under his own vine and under his own fig tree. Micah 4, 1 to 5 speaks of the same thing. And Joel 2, 28 to 32 speaks of the time of prosperity among all nations after God pours out his Holy Spirit upon people in the millennium. The billions now spent on tobacco, alcoholic drinks, sickness, hospitals, cosmetics, crime, worldly amusements, and many other things will be enough to supply everybody with plenty. All investments will be safe, and there will be no financial crashes to retard business throughout the whole period. The God of all the earth will prosper anyone and everyone in a legitimate business, and all will be capable of succeeding in life in all its varied aspects. So naturally, we can look forward then to a wonderful condition of peace and prosperity in the millennium. Now, as to the financial system in that period, Malachi 3, 7 to 12 tells us to bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you will not be able to contain or receive. Tithing was the system of support for God's government when he was supposed to have a theocracy on earth. Later on, they demanded a king instead of being satisfied with a theocracy, a God rule, where God dictated everything and ruled everything and chose his own rulers. They demanded a king, and so God gave them Saul to their own sorrow and hurt. But back in those days, tithing was the system employed by God to support the religion and government of that day, when God had what we call a theocracy. So it will be when God has the theocracy in the millennium, under Jesus Christ and under David and under the apostles and under all the resurrected saints of all ages. It will be a God rule in reality. Tithing will be reinstated, and men will have to pay tithes in those days to fulfill the original covenants made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel. In fact, we're promised many things in the Bible if we would tithe even today. Restore the idea of tithing to the churches and even in governments, and we would have enough to take care of all things that are now being supported by taxes. But in that period, tithing will be the method used to finance the government and religion, and all men paying their tithes to God during that period, we no doubt will have plenty, heaps upon heaps, as they did in Israel when they faithfully paid their tithes. Even the New Testament teaches tithing. Matthew 23, 23, Jesus said to the Pharisees, You pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, such as judgment, faith, mercy. This ought you to have done. In other words, you ought to have paid tithes all right, but not leave off judgment, faith, and mercy. In Romans 2:22, we have a statement. thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? In other words, do you take the consecrated things and use them for your own self? Do you rob temples? That's the literal translation. Do you take dedicated things, things that are consecrated to God and should be God's and only for God's use? You that say you wouldn't bow down to an idol, do you pay your tithes? That's the idea. 1 Corinthians 9:7-18, the Apostle Paul said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen, or saith he altogether for our sakes? No doubt for our sakes it is written, so as it is written, they that preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. And so it will be in the millennium. Those who rule will have to be supported. And those who preach in those days will also have to be supported by the gospel that they preach. So no doubt the same system of finances, tithes and offerings, that was back under the law of Moses and back in the days when God ruled Israel, that will be the system in the millennium. There will be plenty of money from such system to balance the budget and have plenty to spare. There will be no corrupt politics or graft, for Christ and the resurrected saints will reign in righteousness and true holiness. They will need no salaries, as they will own the universe, and all will be theirs. All the money that anyone would get for personal use will be that to give the earthly missionaries and the earthly servants of the government a living. There will be no need of special taxes on automobiles, gasoline, food products, and many other things, other than just paying the tithes of everything produced in the earth. This financial system, if practiced by governments today, would solve all financial problems and would relieve us of a very heavy tax burden, especially so if the governments would take up the program of evangelizing the world and quit spending the biggest portion of the income on armaments. For God would bless such an undertaking to such an extent and bring prosperity to the human race beyond conception if that kind of a program could be agreed upon and carried out by all governments on the earth. Just think what could be done if we had the money spent on arms in Russia, in every land, United States, and all parts of the earth. The biggest portion of the income of mankind is going on weapons to destroy one another. That will be done away with completely in the millennium. There will be billions upon billions upon billions every year coming in so that they will not have to spend it on arms and protection of certain nations and competition between nations, but they can spend it on the poor and on those who are not so prosperous, to help them become prosperous, and spend it to support the missionary program and the government agencies of various kinds that will be in the millennium. Another wonderful living condition on the earth during that time is that full justice will be meted out to all. In Isaiah 9:6-7, we read, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. But upon the throne of his father David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it, now listen to this, with judgment and with justice. With judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever. There will be no more political pulls, church pulls, lodge pulls, governmental pulls, relative pulls, or any kind of pulls in those days. Righteousness and justice will be meted out without respect to persons, to all people alike, for Christ and the resurrected saints will be the judges of that particular period. In Isaiah 11, we read that Christ shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. In the 32nd and 42nd chapters of Isaiah, we have the idea that a king shall reign in righteousness and princes or rulers in judgment. In Isaiah 65:20, we have a statement, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, not an old man that hath not filled his days." All men will live long lives. A child shall die 100 years, but a sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. That is, if a man commits a crime that has the death penalty during the millennium, whether he's at the age of 100, 500, 900, or whatever his age may be, he will be executed for that crime. Full justice will be meted out to all. Matthew 5 through 7, the principles of the Sermon on the Mount will be carried out to the letter. Crime waves will be a thing of the past. There will be no political and or various kinds of pulls in those days. The Lord and his glorified saints will reign in justice for all men alike. If a man commits a sin worthy of death, naturally he'll have to pay for it, but otherwise righteousness will prevail in general. There'll be very few crimes committed of that type, no doubt. There will not be 1,000 years of staying executions or prolonging trials. The law will be enforced to the letter, and as it should be today. Human life will be prolonged in those days. Isaiah 65:20 tells us that a child shall die 100 years, and an old man will not die before he has filled out his days. In fact, during the millennium, there would be no need for anybody to die unless he commits a crime that has the death penalty. As the days of a tree, Isaiah 65 says, are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Zechariah 8 speaks of children playing in the streets of Jerusalem, and old men will be walking around for a very age. Human life will be prolonged. In other words, during that period, they will live 1,000 years. And if they do not rebel with Satan at the end of 1,000 years or commit a crime which has the death penalty, they will be permitted to continue living on the earth in the new heavens and the new earth forever and ever and ever. So the people that go from the tribulation period into the millennium and from the millennium into the new earth, they are the people that have lived righteously and who have consecrated their lives eternally to God and have literally conformed their lives to the gospel and have obeyed God to the letter. Many, many of these statements in the Bible reveal the fact that there will be a wonderful change during the millennium. There will be the increase of light. Yes, the light of the moon will be increased sevenfold, and the light of the sun, in other words, the light of the sun will be increased sevenfold, and the light of the moon will be increased as the present light of the sun. That's stated in Isaiah 30, verse 26. That will bring about a wonderful change. Then we read of a wonderful and an everlasting light and glory of God in the 60th of Isaiah, verses 18 to 22. Think of the time when the sun's light will be increased sevenfold, seven times more than it is now. That doesn't mean it'll be hotter, while the atmospheric conditions will be adjusted accordingly. And the moon in that day will be as the present light of the sun. The 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah gives us the idea of what causes the present unlikely things in the millennium, or rather in this period in which we now live. It speaks of the devil and the principalities and powers as being a covering of darkness cast over all people. And when Satan and his demons and fallen angels are bound, that covering of darkness will naturally be removed, and things will become as normal as they should have been all the time that man has been living in sin and rebellion against God. Then there will be changes in the animal kingdom. Isaiah 11, 6 to 8 speaks of a child leading the lion and the bear, and how that they will feed together, the lions and the bears and the various so-called wild animals today. They will be tamed until a child will be able to play with them. And it even adds there that a child shall play on the cockatrice's den, and a weaned child shall play on the hole of an asp. The 65th chapter of Isaiah, verse 25, speaks of the time When the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain or kingdom, saith the Lord. In Romans 8, verses 18 to 23, we have the fact that this present bondage will be removed, and the whole creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And it speaks of the time when we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ of all things. And also, it refers to the time when men will be delivered even from physical death. That's stated in the 8th chapter of Romans. So there'll be wonderful changes. All animals will have their natures changed. There will be no more fierce and poisonous animals. Things will be as they were in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man and before rebellion in those particular days. So we can look forward to a time when Christ reigns as having the most wonderful conditions that could ever prevail on the earth.
Friends, if you would like to have information concerning the Annotated Reference Bible, which contains Reverend Dake's notes, you may have it by writing to the Dake Bible Sales, Station A, Atlanta 10, Georgia. The information is free, and it will be sent to you by return mail. This very remarkable volume contains 4 equal-sized columns across each page, 2 inside columns of the King James Version text, and 2 outside columns of the author's notes, comments, outlines, examples, and so forth. There are enlightening notes on astronomy, Bible animals, reptiles, birds, insects, trees, plants, minerals, precious stones, weights, measures, coin values, and other things which will enrich your enjoyment of the Word of God. Important Hebrew and Greek words are given in the comments with definitions and various ways translated. Obsolete and difficult English words are defined. Parables, types, symbols, fables, allegories, figures of speech, and numerous idioms are dealt with. Alleged contradictions and seeming difficulties of the text are made clear. This feature alone is worth the price of the book in days like these, when enemies of the Bible are finding fault with it on every hand. Special features of the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible include thousands of informative headings dividing the text, multiplied thousands of scripture references throughout the notes, with underlining where helpful, and lists of all the commands, prophecies, questions, and promises. The purpose of this work is to give in one volume the helps that a student of the Bible needs from many books, from Bible commentaries, an atlas, a dictionary, manners and customs books, typology, hermeneutics, chronology, doctrine, prophetic studies, and others. Write today for prices and other information concerning this remarkable Bible. Send for a free circular. Address your request to Dake Bible Sales, Station A, Atlanta 10, Georgia.
Now, friends, concerning this Bible, if you are at all interested in a book that will give you first-hand information right by the text itself, that will help you to understand every word and every verse of Scripture in any so-called difficult passage, then you get this Bible, the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. It will show you all the various teachings of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's a book only 1 inch thick. You can carry it to church with you like you do any ordinary Bible, and yet you have all this information in one jam-packed volume.